Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move together through the Word of God. And all I can say is it's a great word. As always, God's Word is true, and God's Word is great and greatly to be praised. On this eighth day of February, time is going so quick, is it not? We're already in 8 days of February. It seems like January 1st was just yesterday. But God, and again, I would just like for you all to continuously keep my pastor in your prayers, Pastor Jessie Herring, as she continues to make arrangements for the funeral of our pastor, Paul Herring. Pastor Paul, as many of you know who listen in regularly, passed on Sunday evening at 8:48 p.m. He has started his new beginning with God, and all we can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace. No longer in any type of pain issues, Lord God. We thank him, and we thank God for a wonderful woman of God who has continuously moved on doing the work that God has called her to do, even during her difficult time of her husband being hospitalized. And again, I thank all of you for your prayers that you prayed with me for Pastor Paul. But again, we all know that God loved him best, and he loves us best as well. And so we keep each other in prayer, and we keep each other lifted, because you don't know what anyone is going through. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus and asking you, Lord God, to please continue to watch over Pastor Jesse and the family of Pastor Paul Herring. We ask you, Father God, to continue giving each and every one of us strength in the midst, oh God. But we know that storms come. But we know that through every storm, Lord God, you are the light at the end of the tunnel. That as we go through, you won't bring us to it unless you're going to bring us through it. And Father God, I lift up this word today, that it touched someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, that if they are not saved, they will want to be saved and say, what must I do to be saved? Father God, we lift up all of those that have lost loved ones in the course of this year. We've lost so many people, God, already. But we ask you, Lord God, that they all may be in your presence. And those that did not get to know you in life, Lord God, we pray for their souls and for their families, that their families will get to know you, God. For Lord God, there is none like you in all the earth, in all the universe. For there is only one God, and it is you, Father. And all we can say is thank you for your son, Christ Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross and rose again for our sins. And it is in his blood that we ask you to cover the sick, the shut in, the bereaved. Lord God, a special prayer for our children. Please put a hedge of protection around our children, oh Lord, as the enemy is there trying to devour them. But Lord God, we know that you have a not today angel protecting our babies, and we ask you, Father, to continue protecting them as they go to their schools, as they go home, as they travel highways and byways, Lord God, protect the children. Keep them covered under the blood of Jesus, and may their each angel protect them from all hurt, from all harm, from all danger. In Jesus' name, Lord, we lift up this word, asking you, Father God, to increase. As I decrease, Lord, I ask you to allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that they be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer, and I cannot do this without you. Lord God, give us understanding and discernment of your word, that it is written on our hearts and on our minds and on our spirits, that when we leave this place this morning, Lord God, that this word goes with us wherever we go, that we will remember to keep your commandments, O God, and to listen to our parents and to honor them, O God, and to do what you say do as the ultimate father of us all, that we listen to you, Father God, and that we obey you, Father God, and that we continue to be the apple of your eye. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. As we all know, this scripture that we speak every morning, asking God to increase as we decrease, and asking God that whatever it is that we be acceptable, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that it be acceptable in his sight, because he is our strength and our redeemer. And the actual word is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 19 and 14. And that should be written on your heart, Psalms 19 and 14. Because we want whatever it is that comes out of our mouth, that in the meditation of our hearts, that whatever we think or speak or think, acceptable to God. For it is our Lord God who is the source of our strength and who is the one that redeems us from sin. So keep that scripture in your heart, in your mind, write it on your heart. One more time, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Not worrying about what people say, he said, she said, they said, we wouldn't even say. But that whatever it is that we speak and the meditation of our heart, that it be acceptable to God. For he is the one that is our strength. He is the one that is our redeemer. And we pray in Jesus' name, because he is our Savior. And I just wanted to hit that word one more time. You know, God who made the universe by his mighty powers, what Dr. Stanley told us on yesterday, to exercise that same power on our behalf to help us speak and think in a way honors him. He wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. I love that word. You know, we got to continuously think about what we say. Be careful what you speak, that you do not speak damnation over someone else or over yourself. We're going to speak life today. And as we continue in this month of love, just keep God first. Let him be your first love. Everything else will fall into place when God is your first love. So let's get into our word this morning, thanking God again for this great word. There was, I went back and looked over my notes, and the one thing that stuck out in this Exodus word today was breastplate of judgment. And when I went and looked up the breastplate of judgment, you know, because as we all know, Aaron, who was the first high priest, actually, that he wore the ephod, and each one had the names of the children of Israel written on it. And as they walked in it, you know, he had to have Thurman and Urim, and I'm going to tell you what those are. They're like sacred to God. And this is what it says. It says, Aaron shall bear the name of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And we'll read that in our Exodus 28 word this morning. And it says, I'm always in awe of our God's phenomenal capacity for detail. And as we get into this word, you know, you will see the detail in which God describes everything down to practically the nails, that everything is precise, the forks, the fire pans, every little piece that goes into the temple of God. He tells you what it is, what it should be made of. You know, he tells you how long, how big, whatever, every little teeny tiny detail is in the word of God. When God gives you instruction, he's going to give you down to the last detail of what you need to do, what you need to wear, what colors you need to have. Anything that comes from God, he's going to give you every detail. And that's when you pray, when you're over a program, you got to ask God for every detail. And when you do, don't let anybody knock you off your square. Because when God gives you a vision, you got to go with the vision that God gives you. You got to know that God is in charge of everything. And he gives us a vision. He loves us like that. That's what God does. And so let's get into this word. We are coming this morning out of Exodus chapter 27 through Exodus chapter 28, verse 43. We're coming out of Psalms chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, which is also where our, no, Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 is where our title comes from. But Psalms 20, verses 1 through 5 is our psalm word. Proverbs 7, 1 through 5 is Proverbs. And Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 51 is our Matthew word. And that should finish chapter 24. And we'll start in chapter 25 on tomorrow, God willing. So let's get into our words. Get your Bible. You know how we say that? Get your Bible, y'all. Because you know what? This is Bible study. And you need your Bible. And again, if there is any King James reader out there that would like to read, please dial 213-943-3597 and push the number 1 and your line will be open to read King James, because I am coming out a new King James, but I do know I have King James listeners who may want to hear King James on occasion. So if I have any King James readers out there, please don't hesitate to let me know. You can DM me on Twitter at Minister B, Minister underscore B Talks Word, and we can get together and talk about you coming in and doing, being a reader. So thank you so much. Let's get started. And it says this in Exodus chapter 27, verse 1. You shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make its horns on its 4 corners. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it. And you shall overlay it with bronze. Also, you shall make its pans to receive the ashes, and its shovels, and its basins, and its forks, and its fire pans. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall make a grate for it, a network and bronze, of bronze. And on the network you shall make 4 bronze rings as its 4 corners under the rim of the altar beneath, that the network may be midway up the altar. And you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. The poles shall be put in the rings, and the poles shall be on the 2 sides of the altar to bear it.
You shall make it hollow with boards as it was shown you on the mountain. So shall they make it. You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side there shall be hangings for the court made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long for one side, and its 20 pillars, and their 20 sockets shall be bronze. The hooks of the pillars and the bands shall be north side. Come on now. God is giving absolute instructions on what needs to be done on his altar. Absolute to the sockets. Come on now. And then he even tells you what they need to be made of. There are 20 sockets of bronze and the hooks of the pillars and their bands of silver. And along the width of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits with their 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. The width of the court on the east side shall be 50 cubits. The hangings on one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. And on the other side shall be hangings of 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. For the gate of the court, there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. It shall have 4 pillars and 4 sockets. All the pillars around the court shall have bands of silver. Their hooks shall be of silver. Their sockets of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits with 50 throughout. And the height, 5 cubits made of fine woven linen, and its sockets of bronze. And all the utensils of the tabernacle for all its services, all its pigs, all the pigs of the court shall be of bronze. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall it from evening until morning. Before the Lord it shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. Now take Aaron chapter 28. Your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Itamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. Understand, these artisans could not do the job that they are being asked to do without the spirit of the Lord in them. Because God has given them the spirit to have the vision to do what he has called them to do. We each have assignments, and their assignment is to make things for the children of Israel. Whether it's to make the pigs, whether it's to make the sockets, whether it's to make the garments, whether it's to make the screen of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Come on now. Everything down to its finite instructions. God is giving us absolute whatever it is you need to do. He will give you instructions. He will tell you. He will put the spirit in you. That's what he said in the word, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, and he may minister to me as a priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron was priest to God. Come on now. They shall take the gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen, and they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistic. It shall have 2 shoulder straps joined at two edges, at its two edges. So it shall be joined together, and the intricately woven band of ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. Then you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names on one stone and six names on the other stone in order of their births, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. You shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in settings of gold, and you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. You shall also make settings of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cord, and fasten the braided chains to the settings. You shall make the breastplate of judgment. And that's what I was just talking about. When we talk about the breastplate of judgment, God even had it down to what needed to be there. And what he said is, we discover a unique relationship between the breastplates of righteousness and judgment. And it goes on, the breastplates were called the breastplate of judgment, and the high priest was required to wear it into the Holy of Holies to symbolize his intercessory role. He was an intercessor. In essence, he was wearing the sins and the judgment of the people, bringing them to the mercy seat through the process of atonement, forgiveness, and cleansing that the temple rituals dictated. The people themselves could not approach the dwelling place of God beyond the veil, so the priest was required to represent them. This is the basic purpose of the breastplate. By wearing the names of the tribes, the priest was bringing them before God through atonement and intercession. Wow, what a word. He wore them. He went in to atone for them, just like Jesus when he tore the veil. The veil was torn at his death, because he became the intercessor for all of us. We are blessed that Jesus wears our names. He knows each and every one of us by name, and he intercedes daily for us. We are blessed beyond measure. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, you shall make the breastplate of judgment artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen you shall make it. It shall be doubled into a square. A span shall be its width, and a span shall be its length, a length and width. And you shall put settings of stone in it. Four rows of stone. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and an emerald. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, onyx, and jasper. They shall be set in gold settings, and the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel. Wow. The sons of Israel. Each stone represented a son. Whew. 12 according to their names, like the engravings of the signet, each one with his own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. You shall make chains for the breastplate at the end, like braided cords of pure gold. And you shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Then you shall put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two braided chains you shall fasten to the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate, on the edge of it which is on the inner side of the ephod, and two other rings of gold. Wow. And then it goes on to tell us, they shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. You shall make a robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of its hem. It shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet all around its hem, and veils of gold between them all around, a golden veil and a pomegranate, a golden veil and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe all around, and it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Hallelujah. Holiness to the Lord. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban, so it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy thing, which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of woven work. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics. You shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them. Anoint, consecrate, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thigh. They shall be on Aaron, on his sons, when they come into the tabernacle meeting, or when they come near the altar of men to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. God, everything, every little thing is right there. There is no question of what God wants you to do. There is no question of what God wants you to say. There is no question on anything that the Lord does. None. He's just like that. He wants us to know. He wants you to be consecrated. He wants you to be sanctified. And he wants anointed. So you got to be anointed, consecrated, and sanctified. We got to do whatever it is that we're supposed to do, because we do it not for ourselves, but for God. So let's look up the word anoint. To rub or sprinkle on, apply an unguent, ointment, or oily liquid to smear with liquid. But this is what it says, to consecrate are made sacred in a ceremony that includes the token applying of oil. He anointed the high priest to dedicate to service of God. Anoint to dedicate to the service of God. And that is when we say we're anointing someone. When you see someone putting that oil on themselves or oil on someone else, they are dedicating their service to God. And when we look up the word consecrate, consecrate, to devote or dedicate to some purpose, a life consecrated to science, but we know we're talking about God, to change bread and wine into the Eucharist. We know that is what we do when we give ourselves every first Sunday in many churches and every Sunday in some. They have a moment of consecration when they accept the body of Christ. In the Eucharist, they accept the body of Christ. They accept the blood of Christ. We know that we must hallow things to make something an object of honor or veneration, hallow, a custom consecrated by time. And this is what it says, to make a declare sacred, set apart, dedicated to the service of a deity. And we know we are not talking deities. We're talking God. To make or declare sacred, set apart, or dedicate to the service of God. Make something an object and honor, but we are going to devote or dedicate to some purpose. Whatever your calling is, you are anointed. Then you are consecrated. That consecration comes with the anointing of you with oil. Now let's go to sanctify. God has got everything covered down to how you should be. We are children of God. We're going to talk about sanctified, made holy, consecrated, sanctified one. Sanctimonious, a sickening, sanctified smell, but we're going back to just sanctify, not sanctified, but just sanctify. And when we go to sanctify, we want to be sanctified. We want to know that we are God's children, that we are consecrated. We are anointed. And this is what it says, to make holy, set apart, sacred, consecrate, to purify, free from sin. Whoa, hallelujah. So we're going to be anointed. We're going to be consecrated. And we're going to be sanctified, which means we're going to be free from sin. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. We want to make holy. Aaron and his sons had to be made holy to be set aside because they had a assignment. Whatever your assignment is for the Lord, do your assignment. When you are ordained, you go through a anointing, a consecration, and a sanctification. All those things are done. So that you understand that that ordination is nothing to play with. You are being ordained to be an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. Whatever you are being ordained to do, you must do it. You can't sit on it, you know, and talk about it. You got to do the work that is required of it. And it goes on to tell us, and you shall make for them linen trousers. He's given us everything down to, let's call it straight, down to their underwear. Or if you was in the South, they would say down to their drawers. It's all there, everything. You got to understand, God does not play. He will tell you down to the absolute minute thing what you must do. Psalms chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God, the God of Jacob, defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Note, he said, may he grant you according to your heart's desire. But then he also tells you, and fulfill all your purpose. Whatever your purpose is, God will give you your heart's desire to complete that task or to complete that job or to complete that assignment. Hallelujah. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 7, 1 through 5. But let me go back because God put in my heart that we must also understand. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. And we need to add according to his will. You know, God said everything is done by his will. Whatever it is, whatever petition, to ask, Lord, your will be done. Hallelujah. And as we continue in Proverbs 7, 1 through 5, and this is where our title comes from. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. Commandments and live. And my law as the apple of your eye. When we do according to what God says, we don't have time to be worrying about the speck in our sister or our brother's eye until we get that big plank out of our own. Hallelujah. And then he tells us, bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your nearest kin. Because we need wisdom and understanding in our life and in our village. That they may keep you from the immoral woman. From the seductress who flatters with her words. And we know the immoral woman is nothing but the devil. And he is a seducer. He will seduce you with words of, well, if you do this, you're going to get this. And if you do that, you know, but he's not. He's a counterfeit. He's not God. And he's not anywhere close to God. We give him too much credit. And we need to stop. There is only one God, and the devil don't come close. But you got to stop and take a minute and tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a new day. Thank you, Lord, for putting food in my stomach and clothes on my back. Thank you, Lord, for being a great and mighty God. And Father God, give me an understanding. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me discernment that I will not fall into the traps of the wild and the traps of the evil one to try to knock me off my square. Lord, because I am with you. When you see the little shirt said that wives and husbands used to have, and it would say, I'm with him or I'm with her. So when they standing side by side, his points to her and hers points to him. I'm with him, I'm with her. So that folks understand, we are a couple. In other words, don't come step into her, and you look at her, don't come step into him. Because he's with me, and I'm with him. And that's what we got to know is, I'm with him. And that shirt should point up, I'm with him. Because God has got one pointing down to say, I'm with her. We're with him. We're with God. We're with Jesus. We're with the Holy Spirit. We know who we belong to. Don't let someone give them flattering words, but take you down to Boo Boo's house. I take you out to the club. I take you out. We're just going out for nights. Excuse me, I don't drink. Oh, you don't drink. Not even a little wine. No, I want anything. Thank you. Folks look at you crazy when you say I don't drink, and I never have. They don't believe you. I don't drink. I never have. When you're a child and you watch people getting drunk every Saturday night, stumbling down the street, and that includes men and women, you find yourself not wanting to know anything that makes you act like they act. Fighting. You know, as they say, I don't look like what I've been through. And the thing is, all of this going on one block from the city jail, from the county jail. Come on now. And you wonder why you're getting arrested. How you going to get drunk a block from the county jail? Come on. So, no. Some of us have tried to do right. Not that we're perfect, because there is not one perfect soul on this planet. The only perfect soul that ever walked on this earth was Jesus. We all fall short of God's glory. So you may not have drank, you may not have done this, and you may not have done that, but believe me, you've done other stuff. So just go on. Nobody is perfect. And don't let anybody tell you that they are, because if they do, you know right then and there they are not telling the truth. And that there is not, may not be any truth in them, so be careful. So, again, not perfect, just love the Lord. And as we continue in our last word from Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 51, says immediately after the tribulation. Remember, we talked about this on yesterday. Jesus told you, don't go over there. Didn't he tell you that? But we're going to go back to yesterday's word. And we're going to verse 26. And it says this. No, hold on. Go back to verse 23 of chapter 24. So when we go back to verse 23 of chapter 24 of Matthew, to get everything that we're getting ready to read in context, it says this. Then look, here is Christ. Or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, meaning Christians, meaning people of God. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For whatever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. These are the things that we got to be looking for. But praying, we're not here because this is tribulation time. We don't want to be in tribulation time. That's when you start, if it's my time to go, let me go before tribulation. Come on now. I'm just being honest. Let my children go before tribulation. Let my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and all my progeny be gone before tribulation. You don't want to be here during tribulation. And it says that immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heavens and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, come on now, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from this branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, you got folks saying, oh, you know, Jesus is coming. Have you seen these things? Have you seen all these things? Some of them are happening, but not all. He says, so you also, when you see all that word, all is in there, these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Did y'all hear that? Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father.
only. In other words, I don't even know when I'm coming back. Only my Father knows. Don't let folks put in your mind that Jesus is coming back July 1st, 2055. You know, you don't know. Nobody knows. Don't listen to that. He's already told us in Matthew. He's already told us in Revelation. John told us in Revelation. Matthew through Jesus, what he said. So if you go to Matthew chapter 24 and Revelation, you get the picture. Nothing is going to happen until these things happen per Jesus. Not Matthew, but when you have that red letter Bible, all this is in red. And it tells you this. Since for as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two men will be grinding in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Man is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master may rule over his household, to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will be doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come one day when he is not looking for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, will cut him into an appointment. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God is giving us everything we need. He gave Israelites everything they need, down to the pegs on the wall, down to the color of the curtains, down to the color of the ephod, every stone, what kind of stone it needed to be. He gave everything from blue, purple. Come on now. He gave it all. Blue, purple, and scarlet. So, blue, purple, gave it everything. And Jesus gave us everything to watch as well as pray, to know that he is coming back, but not even he knows. We got to keep this word in our spirit and in our heart, so when those false teachers and false prophets start speaking and talking about when the Lord is, we don't know. There's signs, there's things that must happen before all this takes place. Before you see the Savior in the clouds, there won't be no sign. The moon will not give its light. Come on now. We talk of eclipse. The Lord is speaking and telling us what we need to do. Get yourself together. And as we go over a few life lessons before our time is up this morning, it says in Exodus 28:3, so you shall see to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments. God commissions and equips for his service, not merely religious, chucked out there, right? Individuals such as pastors and evangelists, but men and women whom he gifts in many ways. If you answer phones, do so as unto the Lord. Everything we do, we must do as to the Lord. Tired. Thought I wasn't going to do nothing. But God called me to caregiving. It is not a job for me. It is my vocation to take him wherever I go. That when I go into a home, they see him in me. And that if I get any comfort through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I will do it. I will pray. I will give God glory wherever I am. Don't be ashamed of the message that you give for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, every day. This is Proverbs 7:2. Keep my commands and live and my law in the apple of the eye. That is with a destiny. And it's to know God. Hallelujah. David exclaimed, oh, how I love your law. Y'all know I am a total Exodus 20 kind of girl. I love Exodus 20. I study it. Just like the Lord's Prayer. There are that touch commandments and give it to God. Told us that, what did he say? To love the Lord your God as yourself. On these two commandments, the law and the prophet. We got to know the love, not the love. Practice loving the unlovable. Practice loving yourselves. So you can love God and love your neighbor. Because the Lord has told us in his word, how can you say you love God who you've never seen, but hate your brother who you have? We got to watch as well as pray every day. Matthew 24:44. You also be ready for this. You do not expect. Doesn't point the time of Jesus' return. God's word stands. He will come at an hour you do not expect. We are to remain in a perpetual state. Your bag should be packed at all times. Spiritual bags. What did it say? We must be anointed, consecrated, ready. When that's your baggage. Anointment, to be anointed, to be consecrated, and to be sanctified. You put those in your bags. You are good. Love is another key. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We got to have love. Loving God and loving each other. God doesn't ask much of us but to love and to keep his commandments. Don't kill, don't steal. Don't have other gods before him. Don't engage in idolatry. Remember his day and keep it holy. Don't make images. You know, I'm a Pisces. You know, that's all. No. Cut that foolishness out. Don't let folks get caught up in all that foolishness. God loves us, and he wants the best for each of us. And just one last word. And this is one thing. It says, how can I feel secure in the Lord during trouble? We all know we are having them around. And I love what Dr. Stanley tells us. He says this. The Lord is with you time and again in his word. The Lord assures you of his presence. And I'm going to give you some scripture, and then we're going to wrap it up. And it says, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found with you. In 20. Apostle Paul considered this truth. You know what? I just can't stand that nasty devil. He just thought he was so slick, gonna try to knock us out, knock me out. But I know God. Hallelujah. I know God. He didn't want y'all to hear what Jesus had to say. He didn't want y'all to hear that Jesus told us that. What did he tell us? He said,
And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. If you belong to God, you are on the winning side. Hallelujah. We are on the winning side. And before we get out of here today, a word from my sister in Christ. And again, thank you all for staying with me, because you know what? We are not afraid, because we know who we belong to, and we belong to the Father. We belong to the Son, and we belong to the Holy Spirit. And the last word for this morning is good morning. Always remember that your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Have a terrific Tuesday, family, and as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Remember, God is in charge. And as he tells us today, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Take care, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work, y'all. Who do we work for? We work for the Lord. Be blessed and have a great day. And join me, God willing, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move through the Word of God.